Poetry is often thought to be merely an ornamental part of our culture, to be brought out to decorate special occasions with nice-sounding words. But poetry has far more important functions, including what we might call its therapeutic value for both the poet and the listener. It offers a place to do some careful thinking and feeling around very difficult topics. The poet Adrian Rich once said that poetry allowed her to handle the traumas of her youth with asbestos gloves, a metaphor that captures the toxicity of some of the issues we face and the importance of finding ways to touch and grapple with them without getting burned. Today's poem, for example, takes on that hyper-taboo topic of death, something that in our culture we seem to think about only when we're forced to, and often when it's too late to think clearly. The poem is called Because I Could Not Stop for Death, a title that perfectly calls out this tendency of ours, and it is by Emily Dickinson, who knew a thing or two about death. Not only was it a greater part of everyday life in the 1860s and 70s when she wrote, but Dickinson was a deliberate recluse from her society, due both to illness and a desire to retain her independence in a very patriarchal culture. In this poem, she deploys her signature tone of cool detachment as the asbestos gloves with which to handle this topic, wittily personifying death as a kind of gentleman caller. Some 19th century words she uses include tippet, meaning a shawl, and tulle, that soft netted material that veils are made from. The word cornice, we remember, is an architectural detail just below the ceiling of a room. Dickinson uses these words, and the metaphors they support, to create a safe space for us to reflect on our own death, which the sages say is the best way to remain truly grounded in reality. Because I Could Not Stop for Death, by Emily Dickinson. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality. We slowly drove, he knew no haste, and I had put away my labor and my leisure too for his civility. We passed the school where children strove at recess in the ring. We passed the fields of gazing grain. We passed the setting sun. Or rather, he passed us. The dews drew quivering and chill, for only gossamer my gown, my tippet only tulle. We paused before a house that seemed a swelling of the ground. The roof was scarcely visible, the cornice in the ground. Since then, 'tis centuries, and yet feels shorter than the day I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity.